Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
True.
Panthers beat the Texans tonight 24-9. The Sam Darnold love fest has begun. Sam. Yeah, Sam Darnold wins. He's fine. He's just a guy. He's functional. What he does, he's a functional quarterback. That is Sam Darnold.
He's so angry.
He's not. Look, who is he and who isn't he? He's functional.
We don't know what he is because your team sucks so bad that you may have beset the man's entire life and career.
No.
You notice in the post game, he says, I don't even want to think about that. You don't think that's a sports psychologist telling him you got to let it go? Maybe singing a little Idina Menzel while he's at it?
Oh, I would let everything go with the Jets. Why would I want to remember that team that I played for? That is just not happening. I want to remember. I don't know what I did the last 3 years. It's just a complete blur. I was playing for USC. Clay Helton was still a guy they liked. And the next thing I know, I'm here in Carolina. I don't understand. It's like Spider-Man in Endgame. And then Doctor Strange said it's been 5 years and it was time to fight and we had to go.
No, that's good. I really thought you were going to go Born Identity and Sam Darnold's actually a contract killer.
No.
That's just starting to piece together the fact that he had some other things in his life. How about
what
that?
What happened? And he's walking down the street and Matt Damon like shakes his head and he just gets real snippets of him in a Jets jersey getting sacked or throwing an incompletion. Why am I hearing that? Why is that in my head? You have to help me out. What is Treadstone? What is the Jets?
And anybody that approaches him, he starts to move like he's trying to avoid a sack. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, well, you know, it looked like he was coming with a swim move, like he was going to take me down. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I would say the same thing if I was Sam Darnold. Why would I want to talk about New York? Why would I want to talk? It was awful. I had horrible head coaching. I was not put in a position to succeed. And now here I am in a position to succeed. All right, look, that's the difference, right? It's not that Sam Darnold, but being in a position to succeed is everything, right? When you get a job, you want to know coming in that I'm working for the guy who hired me, right? The guy hasn't left and gone someplace else. He hired me, expects me to do these things. I have good people that I work with that I don't have to worry about carrying them because they really can't do their job. You know, they only show up a couple of days out of the week. And the other days they say they're working from home, but they're really not. And they're off getting massages. I got to worry about that. And my boss comes in and he's just terrible. And everybody says he's this genius, but the place keeps losing money and I'm in a losing situation. Now, there's many people that have started jobs that way. That's how Sam Darnold started his professional life. That was a situation with the Jets. But now it's, hey, come here and, oh, look at this. We have a head coach that actually knows offense, right? It's why they hired him. He actually knows, okay, that's really good. We thought the other guy knew offense, but really all he did was have Peyton Manning as his quarterback. Anytime he didn't have Peyton Manning as his quarterback, Adam Gase stunk out loud. It's why the guy doesn't have a job. I told you he'd never work again. He's not working.
Yeah, but think of all the millions that Peyton Manning made him. Forget about all the other, you know, the great Manning cast and the numbers for week two, whatever. I don't care about that. Think of all the millions of dollars he made for all coaches that had some moment with him. And
then
he would pick up the phone and say, yeah, I like him. Like right now, there's a big story that he's got a beverage, right? He's working, I think it's a bourbon, and he's literally cold calling liquor stores in Indiana to carry his booze. Can you walk me through this? Why did you always take week 17 off and then fail in the playoffs? I'll hang up and listen.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. But really, you want to be in a position to succeed. And you are when you're on a better team. Yeah, of course things are going to be a little bit better. That's what it is. I want to be in a position to succeed. Don't put me in a position to fail. Put me in a position to succeed. Okay, great. That's what I want. All right. And this is what Sam Darnold has. Yeah, so I would completely do the whole amnesia thing. He may as well. Listen, I started my life. I woke up. I was floating in the middle of the ocean. Don't know how I got there. And I come back, and here I am now. I'm the quarterback of the Panthers. And I met Franca Potente. And, you know, then she was gone. Sorry, spoiler alert. And then I met Julia Stiles, and she was gone. Sorry, spoiler alert. But I found my way back to Matt Rhule, and now things are great.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
I mean, either that or you're on a little boat, and all of a sudden there's a tiger with you. You can go that route, too. Why not? Whichever path you want to choose. It's choose your own adventure in terms of the movie analogies and the rich tapestry we weave here on Fox Sports Radio.
The tiger is Adam Gase. The zebra is Todd, you know, whatever you want to do, all the different animals that were on the boat with him. Oh, my God. That would be insane. All right. It is, like I said, it is the Jason Smith Show. We'll have more. We're chasing down Jay Glazer, who's talk NFL with us tonight. And clearly, look, it was a big night for the Carolina Panthers, and they wind up beating the Texans. And the Texans were terrible, but the Texans, look, they did their thing, right? They kept it close. Davis Mills' first start. Look, we said it last night that we were going to spend a lot of time tonight talking about Sam Darnold being 3-0. There was no way that the Texans were going to be able to keep this close past a little bit of time. And they kept it a lot closer than it was expected. They had a couple of really bad penalties that hurt them that helped the Panthers get on the board in the second half, but that's kind of what it was. And so now the Panthers won. We expected it. The Panthers won. We expected that to happen. 100%.
Absolutely.
But today there's also really big news on the Tom Brady front. As today is the 20th anniversary of the play that launched the career of Tom Brady. Right, it was 20 years ago today. The Jets were playing the Patriots. And it was the first game following 9/11. I mean, people forget that that's the backdrop of this was, you know, we played week one in the NFL. 9/11 happened. The world changed for all of us forever. They didn't play any NFL games that week. And I remember being on the radio and people would call going, why isn't the NFL playing? They need to play. Because, you know, some of the places like, you know, Giant Stadium is being used for a morgue. That's kind of why they're not playing. People were insane. They wanted to play. So we take a week off, and then we come back, and we play our first week of football. And the play happens that launches the career of Tom Brady. Let's hear Dick Enberg and Dan Dierdorf with the call. Alex Teichert, let's roll it. And don't play the butt fumble.
Here's Tebow.
It's a game! What a special moment for Tebow. There it is!
All right, now let's hear the play, or I'm going to key Alex Teichert's car after the show.
5 seconds to go here in Super Bowl 17. Dolphins trailing the 49ers by one. This will win the game for Miami. There's the snap. Marino holds the kick. And it's wide. Oh, no, it's no good. Ray Finkel blew a 26-yard field goal. I don't believe it.
That was very difficult. It was an easy field goal for Finkel.
Changed the world.
Finkel's.
It really did.
Oh, man. That did change the world. That did. Oh, by the way, shout out Jim Carrey, who that year did three movies and made over $100 million. I mean, 1994 was Jim Carrey's year. All right, so now let's hear the play that changed the world. I don't know what we're going to hear, but let's see what Alex Teichert has.
Four looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms. Bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat,
Kevin. Oh, they got him.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
You know,
he's bare chested.
The big thing about that is that did not involve the Jets. I guarantee people thought, oh, that must be no, Jets not in that one. All right, so now let's hear the play.
And there he goes.
Let's hear the play that launched the career of Tom Brady. I don't know what we're gonna get.
Let's go. Gonna run it. Needs 10 yards. Oh, does he hit? Oh my.
And the ball, they're gonna actually, it looks like they're gonna rule that a fumble. And oh, look at Drew.
Yeah, this is more critical than the first down to the Patriots' hopes. Sean Ellis, 92, was carrying his 294 pounds along with Mo Lewis right into the path of Bledsoe.
So there it is, the call, the hit on Mo from Lo Lewis on Drew Bledsoe that knocked Bledsoe out of the game. Tom Brady comes in, was not able to get the Patriots into the end zone. I was like, that Brady guy, he stinks. Oh, man, the Jets win. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a kind of short-term game for long-term pain. And then, obviously, Brady keeps the job. They win the Super Bowl that year, and Brady has the career he does. Now, Bledsoe was injured seriously. He couldn't come back to play for a while. It was a really difficult hit. I mean, Mo Lewis just absolutely slams him. But here's the thing about this is that to go back to that point, the Patriots were a feel-good story. They didn't have a great offense that year, right? They were built on their defense, right? That's exactly what they were. This is also Belichick's second time around. This was the game where the Rams said afterwards, we wondered why they were able to get on all of our plays, including one we put in the walkthrough that they were able to call the right defense for in the Super Bowl, and that really surprised them. This was the beginning of Spygate.
They've got amazing powers of observation. What are you trying to do?
This was the beginning of Spygate. Remember the Rams? It was that it was the play where what play was it? The 2-point conversion that they put in, and somehow they sniffed it out, and the Rams were like, how did they do that? And they wound up committing a penalty on the play, so the Rams got to do it again. But it was like, we just put that play in the walkthrough. And somehow the Patriots knew everything to call to get it, right? So this is the beginning
of
Spygate.
How about you look internally and maybe it was a rat? maybe there was a guy that wasn't happy with his paycheck.
Don't tell anyone, but the Rams just put in this play. So this was a team that was built on Belichick the second time around, the beginning of Spygate, and a great defense. They did not have a great offense that year. Right, it's not like Brady came in and people think, oh, no, it took Brady a couple of years to become a guy that became a great downfield quarterback. And you know, it was a while before he was throwing 30 touchdowns in a season. If Bledsoe stays, getting the plays like they are, they're playing defense the way they are, Bledsoe wins that Super Bowl. Remember, Bledsoe came in the AFC title game against the Steelers where, hey, again, another great defensive game from the Patriots, and he gets them two scores that Brady was out of the game. And if they don't get those scores, they don't win that game, and it's the Steelers going on to the Super Bowl. If Bledsoe had stayed healthy, they still would have won that Super Bowl. Now, the other ones going on, look, at that point, I wasn't the biggest fan of Bledsoe. They had just given him a big contract extension. So all the talk of, oh, Brady was going to win that job, no, they just gave him $100 million, so that wasn't happening. Eventually, they would have gone to, Bledsoe would have found his way out of there because, look, at that point, Bledsoe hadn't been great in a couple of years. He was going to be 30 years old. So how much before they would have had to make the change to somebody else? Maybe another couple of years. You win the Super Bowl, you get another couple of years, but is Brady still there? Is he someplace else? I mean, that's something that changed the NFL, because if that play doesn't happen, it's maybe Brady's career doesn't happen, or maybe it happens someplace else. But that year, that Super Bowl, beating the Rams, they would have won that game with Drew Bledsoe. Because it's not like Brady was great. Now, he brought great energy to the team, and things were different. Hey, here's Brady. Look at what he is. He's a great success story. He's making the clutch plays. But Bledsoe was still good enough to win those games. And he clearly showed it. I can come off the bench in the AFC title game on the road and find a way to win this and get us to the Super Bowl. They would have won with Bledsoe there. The rest of them, I don't know. But that year, they would have won with Bledsoe.
Strong team, built from the ground up. You probably still work with his arm more, right? Because you did pay him. And we still see that to this day, and where we have fights over workloads, right? Of the great debates that Dallas is going to have in their running back room, right? Design plays to the outside and the explosivity of
Tony Pollard versus what Ezekiel Elliott is as a runner up the gut and in the passing game and as a blocker, right? We still have it. One guy's got a big contract, the other guy doesn't. What do for touch counts? Likewise, going back there, you paid the quarterback. You were probably still going to pass a little more than perhaps you wanted to, and philosophically, you would dial it back a little bit. So, you know, bringing in the youngster, yeah, you had the opportunity to do so. So I'm with you. I think the roster was good enough. I would have liked to see it finish out, but instead, you know, I know you've been watching it. I've been watching it. We've had Party Thor ruling the world. We've had Zombie Captain America and crap. I mean, the what if series that they've put out with the retelling and redistribution of timelines in the Marvel Universe. Same thing here, right? With Tom Brady, he doesn't get the shot there. Does he actually ever have a real NFL career? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he becomes one of those backup guys that's bouncing around 3-4 teams, kind of like all his backups did when they were supposed to be coming in to succeed him when he was, quote, old after 14 years, you know, things of that nature. Hey, this guy's going to be the next. No, he's not. Brady's still going. All right, now he goes and bounces around, and we see where he ends up. And some of them have had nice long careers and made good money as backups and occasional spot starters, and some others found their way out of the league very quickly. Likewise, you know, other guys who might have been really talented went to bad situations, Jets, and just never got that second shot. Right, or deeper opportunities to get a look-see somewhere else because they didn't perform well in that first spot. And you all know if you have a team where they've been known as the place where, quote, quarterbacks go to die, that you've got some of those in your history. Tom Brady, because of this big hit, and really this should be the textbook from high school football all the way through of get the hell out of bounds. There's no reason to take that hit. You weren't suddenly going to juke back into the field and run 50 yards. Instead, you take a big hit. Yeah, the check's still clear, whatever, and Drew Bledsoe's a good guy with a big business. They just acquired a huge parcel of land, vineyard in Oregon. Like, I keep apprised of this because it's really good wine. Not to shill for him, but it's good stuff, Smith. Maybe I'll bring you some next week when I bring you your Guns N' Roses shirt. But for that hit, we the world may never know. Might have been a different timeline, and I could have been the watcher seeing something else.
Twitter at Al Badafresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. I cannot interfere. I am just the watcher. Hey, Drew Bledsoe, watch out. Here comes Mo Lewis. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm the watcher. Dealing
here,
with a dead battery.
2 feet here.
Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. And they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Well, coming up, we got more on Thursday Night Football and big college football quarterback news. A huge change may not be imminent.
Huge boner.
That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yeah, buddy.
You'll love this. Before we get to that big college football quarterback story. So I had to stop practice today with the girls because we had to have a 5-minute conversation about Olivia Rodrigo. Because it was,
yeah,
somebody said, good for you. And I was just saying, because I, you know, goofy. I just go, I think I'm good for you. I'm so happy and healthy and wealthy and stealthy. I took a selfie. They go, Coach, what are you doing? Coach, what are you doing? So one of the girls says, hey, Coach, can you tell me, what is this? Why is Olivia Rodrigo being sued by everyone? So I said, all right, so I start talking about one of the girls real fast.
She should have called me.
Well, they're in line. We're doing the drill. And said, okay, let's go here. Let's get around. Let's do this. And Coach. And suddenly everybody just stops and go, all right, you're okay if we take 3 minutes and have a conversation about Olivia Rodrigo? Yes, because, like, she's it. Like, in middle school, she is, like, it. Like, she is the new – she's like Harry Styles now. It's like she is everywhere.
Dude, I don't know if you saw it, though. Her set at the iHeart Radio Fest last week was just straight fire.
Oh, was it really?
So good.
Nice.
Yeah, she was awesome, and the crowd was into it. It was – I wasn't there, but I – you know, found some video of it. Everybody was recording it, right? Nobody just watches a concert anymore, so we get to see it all.
No. I want to be able to watch it over and over and over again. Do you remember what it was like? No, I held my phone up the entire time, and my hand turned into a claw. So I'm explaining
all
this stuff.
But look, you can see the video because I'm bouncing along. So it's also not steady cam.
Remember, Rerun got in trouble for that once upon a time in What's Happening.
Oh, the Doobie Brothers, man. That was bad.
Yeah. So I'm explaining what it means that, you know, these songs that exist. And they're like, wait, what are the names of the songs? I said, it's Paramore. And they go, no, it's something else. I go, no, it's Paramore's the group. No, it's a Taylor Swift song. And I'm like, no, it's Paramore. Like, no, the name of the song is Evermore. I go, no, the group is Paramore. Yes, there's the Taylor Swift part of it. That's a different song. It's a different thing. And I go, oh, my God, I can't. Girls, we got to get back to practice. I mean, this we've been sitting here talking about this for way too long. Let's get going.
I got to go to my car and get a whiteboard. Let's go. Yeah.
And then we're leaving, and one of the girls pulls us, Coach. And I said, yeah, what's up? She goes, what was the name of the band? And I said, Paramore. Okay, thanks. So they're going home playing the Paramore song that sounds like Olivia Rodrigo's Good For You. That was the day today. So if we lose on Saturday, it's because, you know, we spent 4 minutes going over that instead of practicing.
Yeah, but you know what? You connected with your team in a whole other way that'll be valuable to you as the season progresses.
Absolutely.
Did I spin that well enough?
No.
That was good.
You did. And you're right, because sometimes you just need, you know, I always say, this is my line, I always say, sometimes a team just needs to sit and have pizza together. You know, you can go through all these practices and do all the stuff you want to, but sometimes they just need to hang out and have pizza with each other. So I'm like, okay, they just needed to have 5 minutes to talk about Olivia Rodrigo, and they're going to go home. How was practice today? Coach was talking to us about stealing music and sampling and Olivia Rodrigo. And what did you do at soccer practice today? I don't know. Coach is different. So I figured you'd like
for those
story.
That missed it, I mean, she made a couple of big payouts, and some where there legal action hadn't even started.
No.
So I don't know that she needed to, and, you know, it's the permissions versus, you know, better to ask forgiveness than permissions, except when you got to cut seven-figure checks.
I want to just walk up to her house and knock on the door and go, hey, so I wrote this song. What's it going to take? Here's $100,000. We can go away? Yes, you'll sign this? Yes. And I go, all I did was walk up to her house. I got $100,000.
Yeah, here's audio of me on radio from 25 years ago. And yeah, good for you. 877-99 on Fox here.
You're happy and healthy. It's good for you. It's good for you. It's good for you. There it is. That's me from 20 years ago. So... big quarterback. And I said this. You stole this. You weren't even born yet. We almost had a huge quarterback change in college football. It looks like Keaton Slovis is going to keep his job for USC following the heroics of Jackson Dart, who came in during USC's win over Washington State last Saturday after Slovis gets knocked out during the opening drive because of a neck injury. Comes off the bench, he throws for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, but he gets dinged up. He was limping a lot in the second half. He just underwent surgery to repair a meniscus and is out indefinitely. So now Slovis is back under center, and he will start on Saturday. Now, look, this was, you know, you talk about 10 days ago, UCLA was the talk of the town. It was, we had just beaten LSU and things were great.
Oh, yeah.
USC fired their football coach. And then in the span of like 4 hours, it was, well, we lost to Fresno State. That stinks. We're back to being UCLA. And USC found another quarterback, right? Like the Slovis.
Well, and they went out and bludgeoned their next opponent, right?
Yeah,
so it
exactly.
was, oh, look, they're back.
But I'll tell you what, this is not for Slovis, not the worst thing. This is a guy that was supposed to go in the top five of the NFL draft after this year, and it just hasn't happened for him so far. It's not been a lot of energy with USC. They should be a lot better than they are. And to suddenly have his job threatened, you know, all reports say this week he practiced really well, like it was a different Slovis. It happens sometimes when you get a gig and you have success that early, like he did, like right away when he comes in, and he's great. It's, wow, look at Slovis throwing for 395 yards a game. This is great. That happens sometimes. You lose lose a little bit of that work ethic, a little bit of want to, that little bit of desire, whatever it was that made you special. And clearly the USC's offense the last couple of years has just been, okay, it was great when he took over, and then it wasn't quite as good, then it wasn't quite as good, and really they needed some kind of jolt of electricity. And, you know, and here comes Dart, and he has a great game. But, again, I don't think the worst thing for Slovis, because now he knows, boy, I almost lost my job right there. And if I don't keep playing, when he comes back, he's going to get the job over me. And then I go to the NFL, and I'm not going in as a top five pick. I'm going in as a guy taken in the seventh round, and who knows where it is. So, again, not the worst thing. And maybe USC can stay in this and, you know, rip off a bunch of wins in a row, and suddenly at the end of the year, hey, you know, the Pac-12 is not great. You know, they got one loss right now, but clearly they don't have that daunting a schedule. And maybe USC can be back to being the USC we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season.
Well, maybe we can go back and pick all those games here and look at their schedule now. Let's go! Local radio kind of thing. Look, they won the opener against San Jose State. They scored 30 points, 256, and a couple of sacks, right? No interceptions. Didn't need to do a lot. 30-7 victory, fine. The loss to Stanford, they scored 28 points. It's not his fault the defense and Clay Helton stink. I mean, coming out of the game, I didn't hear the presser after the 45-14 win. I mean, eventually you knew that Dart was hurt. But, I mean, I didn't hear him say, like Matt Nagy, hey, this guy's our starter, you know, or we'll slow this down, or whatever the different data points are, you know, we'll see, you know, and butcher this in a whole other way. But a 45-14 win, and he leaves after two pass attempts. So, you know, the job in theory should have still been his to come back and reclaim. But you look at the big game Dart had. You know, part of that is you know, it's Washington State. I gotta call it what it is. I mean, we got to be, you know, if we're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers start and try to, you know, calm expectations and all, we also need to remind ourselves, well, what Washington State is. They got the Beavers up next, and then Colorado, Utah, which isn't as good as the preseason hype, and then you've got Notre Dame. Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, then UCLA, and then close it all out with BYU. So a couple of games in there, a couple of ranked squads that are still out there, but plenty of time for the Slovis bandwagon that I think you were building, as I recall, despite the presence of a Clay Helton in your life, that you know, rebuilding as it goes. And now we're into interim coach land, which gets into a weird territory and all the rumors and conjecture and speculation. And all you can do is play football, right? You can't worry about whatever the outside noise is. And I think that's really all it is. And you're not going to get the insanity that runs around, you know, when Clay Helton was there. For Dante Williams, it's, you know, keep the pace. You got the job for as long as you've got the job, and you know, embrace expectations that you're going to go back and you're going to put up 40 points a game, whether it be Slovis or Dart or whoever's there. Healthy quarterback at USC. Yeah, that's one of the great positions in all of college football, even in a down year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
And I would like to say congratulations to Mike Harmon. As it turns
Thanks,
out,
buddy.
Tony La Russa wasn't the worst manager in the world. He wasn't That's so right. completely out of touch. He wasn't a guy that, oh, we got to fire him because he can't connect with today's player. Today, the White Sox became the latest team to clinch. Still 10 games left in the regular season. They have clinched the AL Central. They did it in game one of a doubleheader today. And clearly, Tony La Russa's okay. I mean, I know he said, hey, this is great. I feel like I'm on Fantasy Island, which, you know, suddenly I'm thinking about Ricardo Montalban. But yeah, so all this, boy, Tony La Russa's terrible. And look at what he's doing. He's middle, he doesn't want guys to swing on 3-0. He's completely lost touch. Yeah, things turned out to actually end okay for the White Sox, so maybe La Russa's okay?
Walk into a good situation, a lot of young talent, and teaching them and reminding them of some of the fundamentals that will come in handy as you get into meaningful baseball, as Tim Anderson called it, right? Because they were in the playoffs 2 years ago, and they were unceremoniously dumped out by the A's. Right, very quickly, get them on, get them over, get them in. Now you've got another opportunity. You look at the young guys that gelled with La Russa, because it's all about, it's baseball, right? It's the common language, regardless of age. Yeah, you might not like some of the theatrics, but you recognize you've got to adapt, and La Russa did. Right, he had his conversations, he had his issues, and I think there are a lot of managers that don't like 3-0 swingers. But they don't go at it publicly like he did with Yermín Mercedes, who, I remind you, was a great story, helped and propped them up for a month, but he's a career minor leaguer. And as soon as we saw him flash like a shooting star, and just like that, he was gone and back to the minor leagues. So he calls it Fantasy Island, as you said. I think they just did another reboot of that, so we'll have to look into that a little bit more. But 76 years old. Got a staff that's in pretty good shape. They got bold and made some additions to the bullpen. I am concerned for Carlos Rodon, one of my favorite guys, battling back to be a contributor this year in a big, big way, and no-hitter and all those big moments that he had. So hopefully he's healthy. But when you look at Eloy Jimenez, Lewis Robert, and some of these young guys along with Tim Anderson and reigning MVP Jose Abreu, you got offense for days. Now you just need to take what La Russa tried to instill over the course of the regular season, and when small ball situations arrive, make the most of them. So can't wait to watch it play out. It's going to be a fun October, and hopefully we get to see a couple of dates out here in Los Angeles.
Hopefully. Just like I always say for the Jets and the Mets, someday, hopefully, hey, someday. All those.
But here's the thing. We're at least we and I use the we, and some folks will hate it. Yeah, all your favorite radio hosts are fans of players and teams. If they say otherwise, they're lying, because otherwise they wouldn't be in this business. They may not be as vocal about it. I'll wear it on my sleeve, as does Mr. Smith over there. Look, you got to get invited to the dance, and what you do from there. Look, we're no more critical of anything in our sporting universe than the teams that we follow. If you've paid attention the last couple of weeks, nobody on national and probably local sports radio in Chicago has gone aggressively at the Bears situation and Matt Nagy's decision-making as I have. Maybe from a different frame, because I wasn't a fanboy looking for Justin Fields just to be on the field because his name's Justin Fields. But we will attack as necessary, and, you know, sometimes maybe hypercritical based on watching those every plays and every game and the psychology of it all. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun run, and you can watch the elation, or you can mock me as it melts down. Either way, we're ready for October.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned mocking you, because coming up next, while you celebrate your White Sox playoff berth, there
is
a team...
I'll send you to heaven!
Before I send you to hell, and a two, and a three, and we sail the ocean blue, there is an NFL team that absolutely needs an intervention after a report from today.
Cleveland!
That's next. It's not Cleveland. It's here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
I'm very, very excited about it.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, where while he is celebrating the White Sox going to the playoffs, first division title since 2008, last time the White Sox did this, Brett Favre is a quarterback of the Jets. The Bears need an intervention. All right, ESPN's Adam Schefter reported today that the Bears could, quote, slow play Andy Dalton's recovery if Justin Fields plays well in the next couple of weeks, because Andy Dalton got hurt. He's out this week. Fields will make his first start. If this happens and Justin Fields plays well and they slow play it and still give Andy Dalton the job back, everybody in Chicago needs to be fired. I mean everybody. Cubs, White Sox, everybody. The Chicago Wolves still play. Those guys need to be fired. If your first-round pick, Justin Fields, that you drafted to be your franchise quarterback, that if he plays well, we're going to slow play Andy Dalton's recovery because we still want to give him the job back. Oh, my God. Really? Everybody needs to be fired. And that's Matt Nagy. That's everybody. Because this is not how you run a football team. It's not like Justin Fields is a fly-by-night guy or somebody you took a flyer on in the draft. No, this is the guy you drafted specifically. Hopefully he can take over sooner rather than later. But no. If he plays well, we can slow play it to give Andy Dalton his job back. Everybody in Chicago, you're all fired. There's my personal intervention right now. If this happens and he's really good and you give the job back, everybody needs to be fired. Every single person.
I'm a little frightened that this had to be put out as like a breaking news insider kind of story. Because it reads like a deal of Captain Obvious? Who does he shill for? What's the travel site? You got the guy dressed up as Captain Obvious because, well, this seems pretty obvious that you would keep playing Justin Fields if he plays well.
Oh, was it Hotels.com, right? That's what it is? Hotels.com?
Is it? Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. The point being that, I've been firm with the stance all along. Each circumstance that a quarterback gets drafted into and developed is different. And the evaluation process is going to be different. Thereby, while I'm not the biggest fan, as everybody knows in the last rant that I just did, and I see you out there. Hello. Same guys every day with the same argument. I'm consistent with it. If they didn't think he was ready, that was their decision. They could be wrong. They could be 100% wrong. But if the decision was Justin's not ready and we were paying Andy and we brought him in, and go back and watch those games, they were competitive against the Rams except for a couple of big explosive plays that blew things open, and then Dalton gets hurt against the Bengals. Again, they move the ball effectively before he gets hurt. If you're convinced that Fields wasn't ready at that point and Andy had stayed healthy, then you keep moving. And yes, people are angry and wringing their hands going, when are we going to get to see Justin Fields? And you'd have him in the packages that they'd lined up. But if he plays well, why would you then reset the clock and take him back out? Right, it's a bad report just by the inclusion of those words. If he plays well, clearly, if he plays well, what's the difference? You may win 9 games instead of 8. You may win 8 instead of 9. You're not racing out to some massive, NFC leading. Hey, we've got a shot to be the number one team and get a home field advantage and a bye week. No, you're a jag team that needs a bunch of things to go right to win, just like he almost gacked away the game against the Bengals. That was more on the defense than the one interception that Fields threw. But yeah, on the whole, if he's ready to play and he shows that and they adapt the scheme to where they put up points and they're competitive or, God forbid, winning, yeah, Andy Dalton doesn't see the field again. The field is now changed, and it's got nothing to do with Wilson or Lawrence or any of these other guys.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Everybody in Chicago should all be fired. Coming up next, a different take on tonight's football game, Fox.